With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wow!
Nice!
Yeah!
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Welcome to Two Black Guys with Good Credit. I'm your host, Sean Linda, and we have a very special edition today. I'm with my friends, brethren, students from Good Shepherd Services. I've been teaching this course for the last 5 years, I think, or so, and this is the final class of with the students I've been teaching for the last 8 weeks. Had I known they had this beautiful podcast studio, we would have had all 8 of our episodes in this podcast. But last but not least, we're going to do our final class today, and we're going to record it and put it on our show, Two Black Guys of Good Credit. So I'm welcoming Good Shepherd Services to Two Black Guys of Good Credit. Welcome. Yay. We can do a quick name. Everybody want to say their names quickly? Real quick?
Sure. Sean.
Yep.
Hi, I'm Nathaniel.
I'm David.
Jaden.
Yeah, I'm Gabriel.
I'm Diego.
Irma in the back.
Irma.
And Ben on the mic. Up front.
Hello.
So our last class is usually the wrap-up class, and we're going to talk a little bit about personal branding. And since we're recording, we've got all these great students in the class. Everybody's got to participate, give their input. It's not going to be about just me preaching. So what is a personal brand? Who can help me out? What does it say up there?
Personal branding is the practice of people marketing themselves as careers as brands.
Exactly. So what does that mean, like a personal brand? I think, like, for example, this morning with my son, I like to give him, since he's off from college, every day I give him a list of things that he has to get done. And I pay him, like, not a lot, but I pay him. And, like, for example, his accomplishment, his task today was to clean the windows. I showed him how to clean the windows. And actually, that's why I was running late, because I got so frustrated with him. Because I showed him how to clean the windows, but they didn't come out clean. And his excuse was, well, Dad, I'm doing them just like how you taught me how to do them. And I said to him, so if I taught you how to do a layup in basketball, but you kept missing, is that a layup? Exactly. So I was trying to say, like, you are a brand. I said it to him, your work has to reflect you and how you do things. Just because I'm teaching you how to clean windows and because you're following my instructions and they're not coming out clean, doesn't mean, because he had this task yesterday and they're still dirty. And his argument was, I'm doing exactly what you're telling me to do. And I'm like, once again, if I showed you how to make a layup in basketball but you keep missing, doesn't mean you're not following my instructions. You have to get it right. And that's all about branding, like taking value in what you do, you know, taking pride in what you do. Like, everything you leave should be a reflection of you as your personal brand. So some of the things that you have to think when it comes to branding is, like, you know, what are your values? And this happens, and this is going to happen a lot throughout life. Like, figuring out, people are going to ask you to do things, and it could be simple things, and they don't reflect your values. You may have religious values. You may have personal values. And because this is your boss, somebody you look up to, you're going to think that it may be okay to do, but it goes against your values. Can, you know, can anybody, you know, give me an example of what I'm talking about? And we're going to pass the mic. The mic's... Example, what values do you have? What are things that are part of your value system? Like if say someone's telling you to work, come to work every day, don't brush your teeth. Is hygiene part of your value system?
Yeah.
Exactly. So would you push back?
Of course.
What would you say?
No, it's gross.
And so give me another example. Give me a real life example of something that anybody had an experience where like they had to like it was questioning their values.
So I started working and they wanted me to work on Saturday, but I recognized that day as my Sabbath, so I told them I couldn't work on that day.
And what happened?
They let me not work on Saturday.
So part of your branding is your religious beliefs in your background, and you're going to stay true to that. And that's part of your brand. And also it's part of your brand or your interests, you know. What things are interesting doesn't mean, sometimes too, and people get it like conflicted. For example, you know, I've been an entrepreneur for a lot of years, and I've seen people in my personal circle see what I'm doing, and then they're saying like, you know, I want to find my purpose. It's always a big thing. I want to find my purpose. I want to know what my purpose is in life. And the thing about purpose, and it sometimes people conflict, they cross mix purpose and like job and entrepreneurship. Sometimes they don't go fit in the way you expect it to fit, like this perfect puzzle. Because I never started my life dream as a teenager kid hanging out, be like, oh, I want to ship boxes. Oh, I want to open up a shipping company. Oh, and then from there, I'm going to teach kids financial literacy. And I'm also going to buy real estate, and I'm going to be lifting heavy bags of compound, and I'm going to be lifting bags of paint, and I'm going to be arguing with tenants. That's my life goal. I think people have to understand your purpose can coincide with what you're doing in life, but you have to kind of make it work. You have to mold it and put it together. It's not like some people have this belief, and then it costs them a lot of years and a lot of lost revenue, lost money, because they're saying, like, I'm not fulfilling my purpose. I'm not doing my purpose. This is not my purpose. This is not my purpose. But they're not understanding. You kind of have to let life, you guide life, but let it direct you in a sense where you're finding your purpose within what you do. Because, you know, I'd love to be a lot of other things in being shipping, but I've made it work for me. You know, I've made it work for me. I'm able to make it work for make a living. And it feels like when from the outside, oh, you're living your dream or you're doing things that you love to do, but it's not necessarily true. You know, I'm doing things that help me do the things that I want to do, like help me to be here. And I think you have to always put those things together and understand how life works and how the mix works. Like, go for you. And I think your purpose and your interest is always like a moving target. It's never, things change. Like, we're moving into a world of AI. If you're not accepting AI into your scope of thought when it comes to your career, you're going to be dated very quick. You're going to get frustrated very quick. They keep saying, anything you read, AI is revolutionary. This is the biggest revolutionary since before. They even call it a bigger revolution since before computers. Like, this is like big time. What we're going through, this revolution where they're saying AI is going to affect everything that we do in every way, in every forms and fashion of life. And if you're trying to sit, you know, even artists, like painters now, you can create, AI can create a painting from a paintbrush and program and do the same artwork that an artist can do. So if you're not thinking like, if you're thinking like, well, it's not going to affect my career choices, it's not going to be a part of my life, then you're going to miss out. You're going to miss that. And you're going to be sitting in this dated world. A world without AI is a dated world now. So give me an example of something, what comes to your mind as to what I am talking about. What I think I love, you always absorb what I'm saying. So what are you thinking? Yes, you.
I'm sorry. an example of what being...
Just tell me what's going through your mind after what I just did.
I mean, basically that the world's always changing, and that you need to adapt to it every time. Because if you don't, you're just going to get left behind. And if you don't continuously keep adapting to the new things that are coming up, it's going to make you struggle more in life rather than help you out. It's not going to give you an advantage, and you should take all the advantage you can get if possible at all.
Oh my God, that's perfect. You didn't want to speak? Exactly. Go ahead, Nathan.
Yeah. What I got from what you were saying, especially with purpose, is not every day you're going to wake up and do something that is within your, this is what my purpose is in life. This is going to make me happy. Not every job you're going to do is going to make you happy. And that's where I think discipline comes in, right? You get up every day consistently, work hard at whatever you're trying to build, because you know in the future that's going to, in terms of entrepreneurship, whatever business you're building on, is going to give you time in the future to pursue your passion or pursue your whatever you want to do in life. And I think people need to understand that not every day you're going to wake up and be motivated to get the job done. And either way, it has to be done.
Exactly. Like any given day, like I have my work van is outside to me today right now. I drove in with my work van because I had to go deliver some art this morning. But any given day, I'm lifting 300-pound barrel, 300-pound bins, and I'm not looking at it as like, oh my God, I gotta do it. It's serving a purpose. I complete this task, it brings in revenue, helps me pay a bill, helps me grow. I deliver this from delivering art. I've been invited now. I love art, so wherever I, and I like buying art directly from the artist, you know. So every time I'd buy something, I'd bring it to this guy to get framed. And I believe in, like, if you're giving me good service and you're doing good by me, I'm going to consistently serve you. And from working, from going to this artist over years, like, I mean, over 10, 12 years, and he's seen me come one time with my van, he started giving me art to deliver throughout Manhattan. From delivering the art to high-end galleries, the gallery, the curators are like, oh, you deliver art? We need you to bring this art to Philly. We need you to get this art to D.C. We need you to get this art to L.A. And it's grown by me supporting his business and then him giving me business. I've been able to grow my business. And it's like one task at a time, you look at it. One job complete. And that's what I'm forced into my son, is doing work with pride. Just because somebody tells you to, like, get this job done and you just do it, and it's not done with pride, with your signature, with your personal brand, it's not going to help you move further. So you have to define, like, my brand is a brand, and I'm just saying this in general, my brand is a brand of, like, I'm going to hit it. You know, a guy used to always tell me, it's not about, like, when I commit to a job, I'm not thinking about the money anymore. I'm thinking about completing the task in a way that represents me, you know, way that reflects my brand. And when you do something, you have to do something. Even if, like, you're sweeping at a store, if you sweep, like, I had a guy that worked at my store. I mean, he would take 2 hours to clean my store. He would be going from every inch, every corner. He did it with such pride. And have you seen people that do work with pride? They go further. And like you were saying, adjusting and adapting to the new environment that's happening, that's what brings success. Leaders and successful people know how to adapt to change and never, I always say, you know, I get comfortable to get uncomfortable. What do I mean by that?
You don't stop growing.
Man, the man with all the, exactly. So as soon as I see myself get comfortable, soon as I'm like, oh, I got some money in the bank, I get uncomfortable because it forces me to get comfortable again. I remember when I was like, before I had kids and I was really buying, flipping real estate, I would not furniture any place I bought. I just had a carpet. I slept on the, you want to come by my house? We're going to lie down on this. You're going to sit on this carpet. We're going to lie on this carpet. Because why? I didn't want to get comfortable in the house. I didn't want to like it. I didn't want to fall in love with it. I just wanted to look at it as a purpose. And if somebody came with the right number, all I could do is roll up a carpet and I'm out. Mm-hmm. You know, and it kept me tough. It kept my mind sharp. If I put a big lazy couch, a big TV, I put all this beautiful stuff, I'm going to be like, nah, I ain't going to damn place. I'm too comfortable. And I think at your age, your 20s, you got to stay uncomfortable. You know, anybody in here have any kids? I ain't talking about the old guys, so no offense. So my point is, you have no kids, and basically you may think you do, but your responsibility is very limited. Unless you may be taking care of your parents. I don't want to know if that's the situation. But, you know, for the most part, if you have, if you're young, you get hungry and you get uncomfortable. If you had a job, you get a job and you say, what do I need to get out of this job? What do I need to learn? And then once you get that, you move on. You find something else. And it could be within that job, it could be a growth opportunity, but you don't get comfortable in the position. You look for the next opportunity. And if your boss is not giving you an opportunity, what do?
You move on.
You pivot. And it may not be for more money, but it could be for more opportunity, right?
Better growth.
For better growth, better opportunity. And then it comes to, like, you know, beliefs. You know, Muhammad Ali used to always say he's the greatest. And I think he did it because he had to convince himself every fight, every time he stepped in the ring, because it's brutal. You know, it's a war in there, that he's the greatest. And if you don't believe, people see weakness. People get it right away. Like, when I speak to you, I don't see weakness. You know, when I speak to you, I don't see, when I speak to anybody, but if somebody sees weakness, they prey on it. When people should not see weakness. Like, you have to believe in yourself, not in an arrogant way, not in a way that, arrogance means, like, you say something that you know nothing about. You know, like, me coming to Ben, hey, Ben, I like what you're doing, a good shepherd, but I think I could do so much better. Hey, Ben, come on, Ben. You're not doing things right here. And I have no experience. I have no experience in it, but I'm like, man, Ben, shit, I would be doing it this way if you were. That's just ignorance. You know? So, you know, belief is like, okay, if anybody asks me about how do I get this to Australia, I could be like, here are your options, because I know my business. You know, I know when it comes to logistic, what needs to be done, right? So give me an example. Where do you think are strong in your beliefs are?
Strong in my beliefs?
Yeah, what do you believe in? Oops, we're gonna move the mic down.
Something that I believe deeply in is my musical, like, taste, my musical talents.
Mention that, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So you gotta go, so why do you believe that?
I believe that because I've been practicing almost every day for a long time. I have explored different things, searched up different artists, like, went outside of my comfort zone in terms of, like, what I'm trying to find and stuff, like, going back in time, pretty much, going to, like, older songs and stuff like that, like Harold Melvin and all that, like, ancient, and seeing how the music has changed over the years and how I can implement that into the songs that I want to create.
So you're educating yourself,
mm-hmm.
and then you're learning and you're practicing. What, like, to me, that's 1 + 1 + 1 equals success. Like, you're doing all the bare things that need success, and then believing, there has to be a point where you believe that, you know, I remember one guy. I worked with him at a Mexican restaurant, and this is, like, in the 90s, probably before you guys were born. And this guy, he was Mr. R&B, like, He had all these songs. He would sing some of them at work. I can't tell you the whole thing, but he'd sing some of them at work. He'd sing half. But he never stepped forward to let the public hear it, to try to get a record deal, because it was never right enough. I'm still working on it. Oh, I'm still working on it. Hey, Wallace, what's happening? I'm still working. And, you know, about 3 years ago, 4 years ago, I went home, and I went to that Mexican restaurant. He's still at that Mexican restaurant. He's still making R&B songs that nobody has ever heard. And so there's got to be a time where you got to be like, in business, I always say, the smart people, you may not have everything ready and everything ready on time, but you in your mind, you believe that you're ready. And if you're not, you're going to learn along the way. But there's got to be a time for you where you're like, I believe I'm better than what 95% of people are in this industry. And I believe I have added value. And I believe I'm ready, but I'm still open-minded that I'm going to learn as I move along and go forward. That leads to skills. You know, skills, you know, some people are born with great skills, but you still have to hone your skills. Like, I went to school with a guy, and he was, like, I grew up in Canada, and he was, like, a top hockey player. I mean, he made all the all-star teams when he was, like, 10 to 14. Everybody wanted him. He was, like, going to be, like, a top NHL prospect. But he got really comfortable with that. Everybody's telling him how great he is. And there was a guy, his name is Derek Armstrong, that played the same age as him. And I remember growing up seeing him. He would just be in the gym. He would just be working out. And he was quiet. And he just, in his mind, he just stuck to work. While my other friend, he just more or less became that cocky guy. Then he became a fighter on the ice. And long story short, Derek made it to the NHL. My other friend never did. And it wasn't because of skills. It was because he wasn't honing his skills. And you know, I always say, I'd rather be the guy that has zero talent and earned his talent than a guy that just was born talent with born talent. Because sometimes when you're just born with talent, you don't think you have to do much to get better at it.
Yeah.
You get comfortable, exactly. And you've seen it in other courts, in other sports, in other activities. They get comfortable, and everybody's blowing up their head and telling them how good they are, and they feel they don't got to put in the work. There's very few, like, Kobe Bryants that know they're really skilled and putting in all that work. It's when you get to stardom, it's, to me, it's easier, but it's when, like, nobody knows you. Are you going to do, like I tell my son, you want to be a great basketball player? You go outside, do 100 layups every day, 500 jump shots every day, and you'll get better. But is he willing to get up and do that every day? Not too many people are. It's not a, you know, success is like a really hard, disciplined, a lonely path. Most people will tell you it's a lonely journey because you have to put in the work. You know, you have to put in the work. And skills come through what you just mentioned, practicing, learning the history, understanding. And then you'll get the talent, you know?
Consistency beats out talent all the time.
Exactly. So whatever.
Talent and working hard beats out anything at the same time. Because if you have talent and you work hard at the same time, right, I think that gets you much further than if you have talent and don't do anything at all. Because just you're wasting your potential and what you can do in the field, right? Because working hard at the same time is great on its own, but sometimes having talent just feels like you're lucky, right? It feels like you're on top of the world sometimes.
Yeah,
yeah, and that's where complacency comes in. You know, our biggest enemy, especially in our society, our culture, is complacency. That's what holds most people back. You get complacent.
Yeah, it's
there's a lot of things to distract us.
Absolutely. It, you know, a sad thing is, like, I've met a lot of people that work really hard. Like, work hard. You may know people in your circle that work really hard, but they're just not work, and they're exhausted from work. They go to work every day. They do what they have to do, but they're not moving forward. Because they're not working smart, you know, they're not understanding, like, it's a, and they're looking at other people that are getting ahead, they're getting frustrated, why am I not moving? I've seen people, like, my age, younger, that been at jobs 10, 12 years, like, okay, during this employment boom that we're having now, I've seen friends, like, that are struggling to pay bills, and I'm like, you know, and you're, and been at the same job for 10 years, getting their little annual increases, and I'm like, you know, you could just get another job with the skills that you have and make so much more money and your world changes. But they can't see outside that box. They're conditioned in this one box of, like, I've been at this job and I'll give you other 100 reasons why. Like, I had a friend, she, you know, the job she got out of college was a job she got from her mother, helped her get the job. And she was a counselor, and I was like, you know, you should go back to school, hone your skills. She got into Columbia, got her master's from Columbia, and she's still the same job that her mother got her.
Well, I think it's the fear that blinds the people, you know? Fear of exploring new things, fear of the unknown, you know?
Yep.
It's what gets to people sometimes, because if you don't want to explore, right, you're just going to stay in the same place and never move on, never continue, never grow from who you are or what you can become, you know? If you get rid of that fear, not get rid of it necessarily, right, but acknowledge it and then try to work through it mostly. Because if you work through the fear, you'll find out that the world is much bigger than what it seems in your small little box, right? Once you get complacent, right, you stay where you want to be, feel comfortable with who you are, the people you already know at work, right? But sometimes things like that don't necessarily matter, because if you want to grow further than what you can, right, if you feel like you can achieve bigger, go ahead and try. There's no point of just staying behind and just having that feeling of growing and not doing anything with that feeling. Chase that feeling down and continue growth. Explore the unknown. That's all I have to say.
I'll do something. So I think, like, fear is also necessary. I think that, like, everyone needs to have fear at least once, and that, like, having some type of fear is reasonable. Because fear stops you from being completely, like, in a dream type world where you just believe that everything will go right. It helps you stay in reality too. It helps, like, keep your head down to the ground so that you can actually see what's going on around you and not, like, up in the clouds where, like, everything is, like, in your imagination, in a way.
It doesn't make you delusional.
Yeah.
It make you forget what your goal is, you know?
I agree with that to some extent. I don't believe in being fearful of the future, because being fearful of the future is anxiety, and
mm-hmm.
that's not helpful to anyone. But fear, right, there was a study done. I heard this on a podcast that I was watching, that there was rats, right, and they were doing testing on them, and there was two different, they had two different sections, right? There was one rat who had cheese at the end of the maze, and there's these other rats who had cheese at the end of the maze, but also had cat noises behind them. So the mouses that just had the cheese at the end of the maze, they did pretty okay. But the mouse that had the fear noises, which is the cats and behind them and the cheese in front of them, they did exponentially better, because you have to be running away from something, right? Like Michael Jordan, he didn't want to, he hated that place of complacency, like that's something that disgusted him. You understand what I'm saying? So that's what he was running away from, and he was heading towards being his best self, being his greatest, the greatest version of himself.
I wouldn't say necessarily running away, right? But mostly moving forward, right? Because running away seems like a bit negative to me in this connotation, right? But keep moving on, right? Pursuing the things you want and not forgetting where you came from is very important, because you hold the same values, you would try to hold the same values, I would think, right? Throughout your life. If values do change, obviously, depending on the situation, if you have family, if you don't have family, but mostly your goal is to be as successful as possible in your life, to whether that be having money or whether that be having a good family or a good job, right? Or having, well, good people surrounding you, whatever success means to you, right? So I wouldn't say necessarily running away is a bad thing, but running towards something is better rather than running away. You're running towards your goal and not running away from the fear of, you know, being trapped behind.
Yeah, 100%. And the way I was using running away is like, where you don't want to, once you learn better, right, you don't want to go back into the same toxic habits that you've learned in the past.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to progress, right? And people, I'm saying you use that quote-unquote fear as a tool to separate yourself from the old toxic, you know, habits that you've accumulated in your past, right? And it not all the time it's toxic, you know? Just people, if you want to live a certain lifestyle, there's certain things you don't do, right? So it's the process of change, and that's what you're going away from.
I just disagree with the fear. If you want something, how would you know? If you want something, how would you know if you have that fear? If you're walking around like, okay, you got to keep that fear. I think I would be scared to not know that I'm capable of doing it and I didn't do it because I had that fear. Like, I would want to do it, and where we get there when we get there, but like, to have that, like, I'm gonna have a little bit of fear because I wouldn't go by that. Like, I don't get that.
Now, what they mean by fear is like motivation, like.
Yeah, but fear is, that's what I'm saying. They used fear. Like, they used fear. So, like, as far as that, I wouldn't have
well,
fear. Well, to motivate.
I just want to say, you guys keep using the word complacency. Like, my question is, what's wrong with complacency? You guys keep saying it's not good to be complacent, but if, from what I understand, complacency means to be pleased, right? Like, satisfied?
Yes. Well, give me an example, real life example of what you. Give me a real life
example
of happy complacency, in your opinion. And there's no wrong answer. What's happy complacency?
I think of, like, my grandma, for example. She's like 93 years old. She's complacent. She's.
No, but
you're
that's content. Sorry.
Okay, so what's the definition
of
complacent?
No, let's just stick on complacent for you. What is it? What is your? What would you say right now would be like complacency for you? That would be a happy complacency. And I'm gonna answer you about fear. I don't want to go off too many different tangents, but let's talk complacency.
Happy complacency. I mean, based off of what I understand complacency means, it means satisfied, right? So happy satisfaction. Me and my family. I don't know.
Let me say something.
Can I read the definition?
Sure, go ahead.
Complacency. Feeling smug or uncritical satisfaction with oneself or one's achievements, right? Okay. So you've reached a plateau and you're like, yeah, I'm there. That's it. I don't have to do nothing else. That's the attitude that I'm talking about. That's what complacency
is. Okay, so my definition of complacency was totally wrong.
All right, let me say a couple things. Let me speak on fear. I think most successful people will tell you that fear is a common part of their life. You know, I experience fear all the time, and, you know, I face it and I push forward. You know, it's like looking over that cliff, not wanting to jump, going to that pool. But fear, like, I like that analogy with the rat. You know, fear and pushing yourself to levels that you didn't think you could get to creates a pattern of success and understanding that you can overcome anything. So I think without fear, I think it leads to a life that where you're not really challenging yourself. You know, I think you have to continue to challenge yourself, continue to recreate yourself, and continue to try to move forward and accomplish things. Because, you know, I look at myself is that, you know, you're not going to get everything done in a lifetime, but you want to make sure that you're leaving behind others to follow. And I even see with my kids, a lot of things that I think they've learned, the lesson that they learned, hasn't been from me, like, telling them. It's been from them seeing what I'm doing. Observing, like, one thing I like to instill with them, and I want them to see, is that I work hard, and I don't want them to get to the point where they think they can just not work hard to achieve certain things. They see me getting up every morning. They see me going to work. They've come to work. So I want, if anything, I want to leave them with the example is that my dad worked hard. You know, he worked hard. He didn't have anything come to him. Now, with regards to complacency, I think it's a very fine line between satisfaction and complacency. Right? So I think, like your grandmother's analogy, she's satisfied. Like, you know, I'm satisfied with the house that I'm living in currently. You know, those are things that you can say, you know, I'm happy with. But to say that complacent means, in my mind, settling. And to say that you've capped yourself and you're not going to try to reach your true potential and you're just being like, 100%. I'm not going to do this because I'm good. But, and you know, in your mind, maybe if you push yourself a little bit more, you could do better. But there could be a point where, like, for example, like real estate wise, could I buy more buildings and go deeper into buying more real estate? Absolutely. But I'm happy with what I have real estate wise, and I think I have another purpose. I like doing what I'm doing here. I like, you know, I want to, you know, grow further in my logistics business. So, you know, I would say I'm not complacent when it comes to real estate. I'm just satisfied with that route.
Like, it served its purpose.
It served its purpose, exactly. So I think as young people, you know, I've seen people cap themselves or allow people to cap them. Like, even when I look for real estate and a realtor, I get calls all the time. They're like, you know, hey, Sean, you know, we found a property, blah, blah, blah. Do you like it? And I'm like, oh, it's okay. And then they'll say the next question, so what are you looking for? And I always give them the same answer all the time. I'm looking for a deal. Show me a deal. They're like, well, what's your price range? I said, I don't have a price. Not that I in my head I do, but I don't want you to, like, you see a property that you think I can't afford, but it's a great deal. Let me be the one to say no to that deal. So bring whatever you have to me and let me make that decision. And I think as young people, complacency will lead to people capping you. Like, I've seen people at work get overlooked because, oh, we thought she's happy. And in her mind, she's like, I would have loved that job. I would have loved to have been a manager. But the way her personality, her body seems like she just goes to work, or he just goes to work, punches in, doesn't make much of a noise, does their job, and never really shows that they want anything beyond the current
that's
role that they have.
Fear doesn't work. That's what I'm saying. You're saying exactly why fear does not work. Because you're saying that, like, had she would have been more...
Let's say he.
It would have been that, she... Let's say she. It wouldn't... Fear doesn't work.
That's why I made the distinction. That's why I made the distinction between fear in the past.
Yeah.
And I don't believe anyone should hold fear in their heart. Like, that's unhealthy. Right. I'm not advocating for that.
And I hear your point. And I'm trying to think of the better word, like, that I have personally, like, for example, like, when I'm trying to grow and move to the next level, is it a fear? It's a nervousness, I guess. Maybe I agree with you. Let me stand corrected. Maybe it's a little bit of a nervousness, an uncertainty of will I get there? And this is why it's good to have open discussions and keeping it, you know, and never putting your ego up front, because maybe fear is a wrong word. Maybe the best word is uncertainty.
Yeah, being uncertain.
Yeah, but uncertainty makes you nervous and makes you not want, think that, puts your foot in a mud. And I have to fight myself constantly to be like, okay, Sean, you got to get comfortable. You got to get uncomfortable to get comfortable again. Even though I say it, I got to keep reminding myself it's time to get uncomfortable. It's time to get uncomfortable.
One more thing I wanted to say. When I was speaking on that, there's levels to this, right? Because people who work themselves from zero, right? When you're at zero, a lot of the tools they have is not happiness, is not satisfaction. It's uncomfortable. It's fear. That's all the tools they have to work with. You understand what I'm saying? So being at that level, that's where fear can be used as a tool to motivate yourself to get out that situation. That's only then. I mean, like, we're not carrying the baggage with us our whole lives. All right, I just wanted to clear that up.
This is why this has been an amazing class, because everybody gives such strong.
I was gonna say that fear comes in many different types of forms, you know? Because you have different types of fear, because we all fear different types of things, right? Fear of staying at the bottom, fear of staying in the middle, or fear of not going.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Far enough, you know? Everybody has different types of fears, but it's just a broad spectrum when you say uncertain. That's why I specified fear mostly, because when you can identify fear as to your definition personally, right? You can say you're afraid of not reaching your goal at the moment, right? That is a good fear to have, because it will help you motivate yourself further. Or you can say you're afraid of being stuck at rock bottom underneath someone else's shoe, right? You want to push further than that. You don't want to stay there. You want to feel more important.
I'm going to say one more thing on fear, because I just thought about it. Like, I do have an overall premise fear. Like, I have a fear of, like, not setting the right enough foundation so that my kids can prosper. You know what I mean? So my grandkids are not going to be. I don't want them to repeat. Like, I don't think, like, for example, I tell you now, I load up 300-pound barrel, 200-pound box. I start this business from scratch. I don't want my kids to be doing that, God willing. Hopefully I can set the business up well enough that they're not doing that. I don't want them to be having to sleep on a rug the way I sleep on a rug to treat. I'd rather them. Every generation should leap forward, and that's how you kind of build generational wealth, you know? So my fear is, like, do I have enough time left? Am I teaching the right things? Am I making the right decisions that's going to allow them to, like, because after a while you realize, like, life is not about you. It's about, like, the next.
It's about because
we're
who surrounds you.
Yeah, we're in this world for others. A really small time, you know what I mean? And it's like, you want to, in my head, you want to have a presence where, like, there's another set of people can take off from where you left. Mm-hmm. They may not even know your name. Like, I don't know, you know, my mother immigrated from the Caribbean, and I know part of her immigration process here, but maybe her grandmother, great-great-grandmother gave them a house that they could live in where she was able to have enough money to save to be able to move to, in certain, there's a pattern, you know what I'm saying, that you can, that you want to be able to let people continue to move forward. So I have that fear all the time. Am I doing the right thing? Am I staying in something too long? Should I move? Should I get into something else? Should I leave something else? Even with my logistics business, I mean, I was in it for a long time when it really wasn't making money. It was doing certain things, and I was always questioning, should I just, like, not do this? You know, am I really – because your most your most valuable asset is what?
Yourself.
Time. And I put a lot of time into that business, my adult life basically, and am I getting the rewards that I happy with, you know? So, and those are the things I'm always debating. People put a lot of time and resources into things. Like I explained to my friend that, you know, is doing trying to do this big development that put a lot of time into it and hasn't really got a return on his time yet, you know? And I can't tell you, like, my if the return on the time I'm completely satisfied with. So let's go and talk about the next slide. 7 tips to writing a strong personal brand statement. This is like something you should probably take a picture of and understand. Like, it's like, I don't want to use the word fear again, we're overusing it, but sometimes people have, including myself, have a fear to keeping it real with yourself and knowing like what you need to do and keeping it 100. So, you know, list your attributes. Find out 1 or 2 things that separate you from the competition and make you unique. This is a tough little exercise to put yourself through, and you know, you may never, it may take you a while to complete it, but that's okay. Choose an audience, an industry where your skills are most useful and yield the highest return. So in real life, example of that, give me an example where you can list your attributes and then they tie into an audience that can you, that you can, that would need those skills.
Public speaking, right?
Right.
And business management, where you can communicate to a broad audience, right? And manage, let's say you have your own business, right? You run your own company. You have to speak to multiple people, right? Have meetings, right? And understand where they're coming from, what are the issues with the business, and what are the issues with the company itself. So you can use public speaking and business management to help out with certain things. There's a 2 skills you might want to learn, or attributes, as you say.
So let me ask you a question. What happens if you found out, okay, if people keep telling you but that you're a good writer, you're a good writer, you're a good writer, but you want to be a musician? How do you line that up?
What I would do is that I would write lyrics. I would incorporate writing into music. So like,
so what are you doing then? What are you doing then? What does that mean? What are you doing? In theory, what are you doing?
I'm just incorporating everything together.
You're aligning your skills
with the industry. Okay.
With what you want to do. See, and that's what happens. A lot of people don't make that connection. They'll be like, for example, with me, you know, I wanted to be, you know, I love basketball. I would love to have been like a great but I realize I don't have that skill. And I had, you know, so what can I align? What do I do well? And I always realized, like, with math, I skipped 2 grades in math when I was in high school and college and junior high and high school. So I was like, okay, I'm already really good with numbers. You know, I have somewhat of an entrepreneurial spirit. And it took me coming to America, because when I came here, I was like, I was going to be Mr. Wall Street. I worked for a number of firms. And I was like, and then I realized I'm an entrepreneur. Like, this, I don't think I would have succeeded far enough in the corporate world where I'd like to go, because I don't think I played the political, I don't think I played the corporate game as well as like most people can play it. I didn't know it well enough. I didn't understand it. I didn't understand how you move forward and how you get it. I think I know it now in hindsight, but when I was younger, I don't think I was able to navigate as fast as what I thought I could do. And I was like, you know what? When I was in college, I threw parties, I promoted, we packed houses. I was like, well, maybe my skill is really being an entrepreneur. And I really looked at when I was younger and a teenager, the things that I did, they were all entrepreneur related. And that's kind of even what convinced me to move from, you know, corporate world, which is a hard decision, to do entrepreneurialism and start my own business and do real estate and so forth. But I was just telling somebody yesterday, like, you know, if you want to be an entrepreneur, you want to run your own business. If you're not good with numbers, or if you don't know how to, like, juggle, it's a tough industry. Because despite what you do, you want to be a writer, you want to be a musician, if you want to work for yourself, you got to know how to manage yourself, your time. You got to know how to manage money extremely well. And you got to know how to juggle. You got to be able to, like, okay, I got this to pay, that to pay, I got this job, and how do I make it all work? It's not really about like doing what you love. It's those little things is what keeps you afloat and keeps you going. Be honest. You know, being honest is something that if you're not honest with yourself, you're going to find yourself in a place you never even thought you'd be. Like, you'd be like, why am I doing this? Why am I here? Because you're not being honest with yourself. You're not telling yourself what you're really good at, for what you need to work on, for what you need to get better at. So being honest is something that you have to continue to be with yourself and learn, understanding that I need to learn more. I need to understand. I may talk the talk and everybody's listening to what I have to say, but in the back of your mind, you may not know what you think you know, and eventually it's gonna backfire on you.
Yeah. We always need to continue to keep learning.
Yeah.
Learning never stops for us.
It doesn't. Especially like the world is evolving. You have to learn even at a faster pace than what I learned at. Because the world, I can guarantee you, 5 years from now, some of the technical stuff in this room is gonna be dated. As only 5 years. I even think like a mouse, keyboard, just got to talk into it. It's going to do everything we need to do. Things are going to get dated so quickly, so fast. These phones, like, look at phones 10 years ago compared to now. Flip phones, no text messaging, no apps. Apps have been only around, what, maybe 10 years?
Yeah, just
about. Exactly. The flip, look how heavy that is. Can you imagine a cell phone without apps? You can't even picture it now. And there is no apps. make it memorable, you know. Your brand seems to be something that you can remember easily. You keep repeating in your head. Does anybody have a brand statement that they can think of quickly of what they would define themselves as? Nobody? Huh?
I could think of one.
Give you an example? What's my brand statement? You may be smarter than me.
Oh, yeah, that's
you may be stronger than me, but you're not going to outwork me.
Mm-hmm. That's a good one.
Huh?
That's a great one. Yeah.
So I'm humble to people that are bigger than me, stronger. You know, like, even like I go to a CrossFit gym and, you know, it's like I love going there because it humbles me because it's not about size. It's not about gender. Like they got people half my size, you know, of the other gender, and they're killing me. In endurance, in strength, some strength exercise I can't do. And they're lifting more than me, and it humbles me all the time because it's like, it's not according to size and weight and height and whatever. So I think keeping that in my head makes me respect people and understand that I'm not necessarily the smartest in the room. Like, example, where she just brought out, when she was going with this fear thing, I was like, where's she going with it in the back of my head? And then she explained her point very clearly, and I had to humble myself and be like, she's exactly right. You know, and that's like keeps me grounded. Like you don't need to be the smartest person in the room because you're not going to learn. So anybody else have a brand statement? And you know, people have challenged me on that statement. One of the guys that I do the podcast, he's editing this right now. He challenged me on that same statement. He's like, why would you say that? And I said, it's true. Like nobody's going to outwork me. And that's what stays in my head. And I'm not saying there's nobody out in this world that doesn't. There's maybe somebody gets up at 4:30 in the morning and stays up late till midnight and does more than I do in a given day. But I just keep that in my head to keep me motivated. Does anybody else have a brand statement?
I have a statement. I just always say, God don't play it on me.
Huh?
Like, God doesn't play it on me. Like, if that's my statement for me.
You need to get one. You have to, like, at your age, you got to start defining who you are. I try to tell my son that. I'm like, you have to be a man of character and complete something. Take pride in your work.
I was waiting for that word to pop.
Yeah, just because I instruct you to do one thing and you do it the way I instruct you to, but it doesn't come out the way, doesn't mean it's done right. And I think this generation is a lot of generation of like, well, this is how you told me to do it. That's just following instructions. That doesn't mean you have to have your signature behind it.
And I think that's the problem when I think about complacency, when I think about like the culture nowadays, it's we're programmed to follow orders, nothing more, nothing less, and that's.
But true leaders think outside the box.
Yeah,
yeah, that's detrimental to everyone. That's not helping everyone. And true leaders think outside the box. True leaders serve others.
Let me give you an example. Your leader right here, we had a conversation a couple days ago, Ben.
I'm not a leader.
He's a leader. Ben's a leader. Oh. Let me give you an example. I'll give you an example of your leader, the things that he does behind the scenes that you guys don't realize. So we went to the stock exchange a few weeks ago, and before I could call Ben and tell him my idea, Ben texted me, and honestly, I was about to text him. He texted me, he's like, hey, Sean, I was speaking to the company that was there. I don't know if I should name the company, and I'm trying to get them to work with us and sponsor so I can get mentorships for the students so Clean can be more on our calendar and blah, blah, blah. Nobody told Ben, the leader, that he has to go to this stock exchange event and then figure out ways in which to grow his program. He was just supposed to go attend, write a nice little email, tell how his superiors, like, great event. The kids loved it. They learned a lot, blah, blah, blah. But he was more like thinking, how can I get more out of this?
Taking initiative.
How can I get more? How can I do more? How can I do more, save the company money, get more, get bigger output? And that's like, he would have done a great job. Check, check, check. They went to the event. They all came back safe. They all had great lunches. They all went down on the floor. But it was like, I'm going to dive deeper with this and see if I can get rinse more out of this one contact that I met. And that's like what you just mentioned, like the difference between people that just are programmed to do their job. Because a program person would just have brought you guys, and that's it. But the deep thinker guy, and I don't think his boss was like, hey, Ben, who did you meet there? Is there more that you can get from them? It was him taking, he's laughing. It was him taking that initiative saying, I can go deeper with this relationship. I can save the company money. I can get more things involved and get mentorship at that company for you guys and make and evolve the program. And since we've been working together, to this day now doing this, we have evolved the program. And I even can't remember how we met, but we have evolved the program and try to always continue to do bigger and better things. So when I say of like, yes, you are programmed. My son is programmed just to do, and I'm trying to break it out of his system. If you're just programmed to do what you're told to do, then you will just be a worker.
A robot.
You will find complacency. You will have fear. You'll be frustrated. You'll live your life. So you have to know that you have to break that cycle. And some of it comes down like, you know, I'm a child of an immigrant. So like coming to like a new country is overwhelming. And it just makes you want to sometimes just fit in. So we may get it from our parents that they're, because they came here and they feel like they have to like humble, they have to do this. But we have to break the cycle. Like my mom was very complacent. My mom was very humble. Nothing against her, because it's just, it's hard. It's overwhelming. You're coming to this from a little island to this big country.
You're trying to assimilate.
You know, I can't even imagine how the world looked to her. Like, I can't imagine what her first winter was like. You know, like, never putting on a pair of boots, wearing open-toed shoes her whole life, and this snowstorm comes, and you still have to find your way to work, get on this bus, and the ice you've never seen. So I can understand, like, what it would do in the and there's no internet. So there's no, like, Google ... Canada or the U.S. to get an idea and get all these pictures. You're just coming off a plane. I remember my brother when he came in the 90s, in the 80s maybe. I'm like, Tony, when you come, you're coming in February. You need to have a jacket. Oh, no, I don't need to have a jacket. But what are you talking about? He came, that plane door opened back then. We could go up. He was drooling, tears, sweating, because he had no idea what winter really was. Like, he had no clue. He couldn't speak. There was no internet for him to, like, research this and understand what it was. So it's hard to judge people, like, you know. Yeah. Oh, we lost it. So does anybody have any, everybody understands, like, is it registering about creating that brand? And if you don't create that brand for yourself, somebody's going to create it for you. And just think, like the analogy we were talking about, that girl at work, the girl or the man or whatever at work that has their head down and seeing people get promoted around them and upset in their mind that they're not getting promoted. And ask themselves why? Because they haven't created a brand for themselves. Nobody knows that you want to get to the next level. Nobody knows that you're looking for more money. People think you're happy. And it's very rare your boss comes up to you like, oh my God, Troy, you've been doing such an amazing job. Come over to this new desk. Come and get this more money. How much more money do you want? You have to make your presence felt. That even begins with like marketing yourself. You know, you guys have all these tools that some, not all, you know, take for granted. Like, Instagram is a great marketing tool. Yeah, you can use it to tell everybody what you're doing and put a picture of yourself drinking coffee and put yourself walking down and holding up your phone as you walk down the street. And anybody of those people that walks down and holds their phone up and or at a party in their own little world and dancing to their phone, dancing to their phone and not look a care of anything else around them, and their phone is up all night to themselves dancing to their phone, or they're walking and they're talking, hey, listen, teach his own. But it's a marketing tool if you use it right. And I'm not saying, like, you turn into this, like, certain Thai Instagram person now and you're, here's my resume, help me find it. You know, but you can kind of start defining who you are and what you stand for. Like, I look at my social media as, there's no more photo albums. You guys probably don't even know what photo albums are. But back in Ben and I days, there was a book. We'd actually drop our film off at the drugstore, and we'd have to come back maybe, what, a week later, and we'd get this booklet, so excited to see it, of all these pictures, good or bad, because we don't know how they're going to come out. And then we put them in this clear this book that we put a little clear thing on top of it so your fingerprints don't get on it. We called that a photo album. And, you know, if I want to see my great-grandparents in some houses, I would look through photo albums that now my sister has, actually. And every now and then she'll take a picture and send me the picture on the photo album, so then I'll be able to save it on my phone.
Can't you just photo scan it to turn it
on? Yeah. See, I'm still dated. You see that? So my point is, this is your photo album now. Your social media is your photo album. And this is things that, in my opinion, it could alter a little, but your great-grandchildren, your grandchildren, this is how they're going to know who you are. So if you were that person at the club doing all kind of crazy things, guess what? More than likely, that's how your grandchildren, I believe, could be wrong, are going to be like, you know, I know, are going to look through that. Because when and I have any friends that passed away, you look through their old Facebook pictures and stuff like that. So, you know, your print in social media is going to define who you are. And there's so many people, including myself, even when I bring tenants, I go to their Instagram and Facebook, and I look and see, like, what type of person this is. And it says so much. Like, I was telling them, when I look for tenants now, Facebook, what's that, Marketplace?
Yeah.
Oh, it's the best place to find, the best place to list for tenants. Because when they apply, their Facebook is attached to their name, and all I got to do is click, and the things I have seen... An application cannot describe the things that I've seen in some people applying to me for an apartment. I'm like, oh, my God. Did you not think I was going to click over to your Facebook page to see what kind of person you are? And I think there's that connection is drawn. So you have to really understand, like, things you put out there are going to define who you are, you know. And I think you should use those things to market and grow. Like, I'm still getting used to even, like, your generation is okay to reach out to people on Instagram and, like, set up time to meet or set up time to hang out. You can meet an Instagram friend and eventually connect. My world didn't work like that. But it's something I push myself to do, to connect a lot through Instagram and different things, because I think it's the way in which people, you know, meet. Stay updated. We talked about that enough. Stay current. You know, and... always show confidence. Everybody that spoke today, I believe, spoke with confidence. Definitely. You got to carry that through. You got to continue to speak with confidence. And if you're speaking on something and you're not confident about it, what does it tell you?
You don't know enough about it.
Thank you. You don't know enough about it. So what do?
You do your research. You learn.
Try to find out more about the subject so you can have more confidence in what you're speaking about.
Yep.
Correct. And it's nothing wrong in saying, hey, you made an interesting point. I don't really know a lot about that right now. I'm going to get back to you on that. You know, let me table back to your channel back to you on what you just talked about.
You're absolutely right. There's nothing wrong in saying that. But some people just don't say that and try to BS their way through the conversation, like they know what they're talking about, but they really don't. You know, it's quite hilarious sometimes because you can tell they're BSing, but you just don't want to call them out just because you want to.
Okay, and you're just gonna take the words from me. Does anybody really ever call out a BSer?
No.
Not really.
You let them BS. Yeah. But you, in your back of your mind, you already know. Like, listen, I have group chats with friends I went to school with, and I'm not sure you guys, I'm embarrassed to admit it. Within my group chat, say of my 20 friends, we have sub-group chats where we talk about the BSer in that group chat. Oh. You have them, right? Am I lying? And can you imagine the BSer ever found out that you guys have created a subgroup to talk about how much this person BSs? They wouldn't even know what to do with it. They wouldn't even know that they realize, the BSer doesn't even realize that he knows or she knows that you're BSing. They'd be like, and I always ask my friend, do you have a subgroup about me? Please tell me. Like, I just want to know. Because you may have a subgroup about me, about the BS and I, and so it comes down to being honest and not like, you don't have to be the smartest person in the room, you know? And today was a perfect example.
And even so, like, let's say you don't know much about something. You don't know much about it, but you can still say, listen, this is my belief, and okay, you prove my belief wrong. All right, let me go do take some research on that. Right, but be open about it.
It takes some real strength to say that, though.
Yeah. Well, she said it today. She said, you know what? I didn't understand the word complacent, and you explained it to me. Did anybody think she's stupid? Did she one of the smartest people in this room?
No,
absolutely.
Not everybody has the strength she has, you know? Because a lot of people have their own type of way of thinking. They're timid, right? They say some stuff, and then they get timid when they get called out. So a lot of people change their mind real quick when you call them out. Mm-hmm. That's why you don't call out a BSer, because then they'll change they try to change the subject real quick.
Listen, you should call them out. But I think it builds character, it builds strength, right? You call someone out, you don't let them get away with it, and they know what to do from their point on, and they can't say, "Oh, I was ignorant this whole time."
Yeah, and you gotta. There's a pulse in the room as well. Yeah, you gotta know. You don't want to be that guy too. Where a conversation, like you're in a big meeting and the person is BSing and you just change the whole narrative of the meeting to call somebody out.
Well, there's a professional way to do it, of course.
You can pull them aside after, but sometimes you look like, then you become the person that thinks they know it all. So, like, there's a time and place.
Exactly.
I know we got to wrap it up soon, right? I saw Ben come out with the big certificates in cash that we got.
There's no cash.
But I always like to leave with
certificates.
Tips to help you live clean, all right? Identify your gift and your dream. We talk about it so much, you know. Write down your goals. You guys got that beautiful book from Cross River Bank. Write down your goals in it. Stay open-minded to constructive criticism. Align yourself with the right people. As youth, it's very important to choose your friends wisely. Choose them wisely. I'm always resetting sometimes. Some people, you know, you just outgrow them. Or they outgrow you.
Yeah.
And it's nothing personal.
You don't stay friends with the friends you had in elementary school. You know, they outgrow you, you outgrow them, and you move on. It's the way of life.
It's life.
Sometimes you know that.
And sometimes they're pulling you to do things that you just don't have the time for. Like, you know, Friday may be your study night, and they're just pulling you to, hey, come out, hang out Friday. Or, you know, like I always say, if I'm going to party, it cannot affect the next day. Meaning that I'm not going to be sleeping until 2 in the afternoon to recover from the night before.
That's smart.
Huh?
I like that. Yeah.
I'll go out with you, but I gotta be able to have a fresh day the next day. So then that limits how much I drink. That limits what I do. How long you stay out? I'll hang out with you, but
I
yeah. So. Those little disciplines help you stay focused. And, you know, you party with the boys or the girls and wake up with the men or the women. That's what I always look at. Party with the boys, wake up with the men. Like, you got to have that discipline. Stay on your path to success. So important to stay on your path to success. The next thing is, failure is a great learning tool. It is, you know. And I think if you're going to achieve success in life, you're going to definitely fail a lot more than you succeed, but you're going to grow so much from those failures. And you're not even looking at them as failures. I can't look back at my life and be like, I failed in corporate America, and now I'm a failure. You know, I just look at it like what I got out of everything I learned putting together these decks is what I learned a lot working in corporate America, and I just leveraged those skills and put them into something that I thought I was better at. chip away at it. We always talk about, man, we're trying to get to what? First base.
Second, third. Take it step by step.
Right. We're not swinging for the fences unless we see the perfect ball coming our way, and then we're still not going all in.
The name of the game is consistency.
Have thick skin. So important. Because when you're trying to push the envelope and go into directions that people are not used to seeing, you get a lot of pushback. You get a lot of pushback. You get a lot of people questioning what you're doing, making you ask yourself, is there really a market for this or that? But if you've done your homework, you've done your research, and you have the belief and the knowledge, like where I'm trying to take my business, I know logistics, I know the need that's out there, and like I'll refine it, but nobody's going to be able to tell me that what I'm saying is not true, you know? you remove your emotions and never close an open door. I would change that, maybe explore an open door. I wouldn't say close, because some open doors may not be the right open door for you. Some more, I think it would explore an open door. Do not burn bridges.
I don't know. Like on that one, I might.
Which
like
one? The burning bridges?
Burning bridges. I think that there are some times that you have to burn some bridges. There's some bridges where like it's in like a toxic way that's not beneficial to you, and you have to burn those.
You can exit professionally.
Yeah.
Like that is true, but like
you don't have to break.
But like, listen, when you do that, when you exit professionally, right, you don't have to always go back to that business partner. You don't have to always go back to seeing that business partner ever again. It's just,
but it's still open. There's still opportunity there.
Like I can give you from a sports analogy, like basketball. If I'm playing basketball and a guy's talking to me, getting in my head, my goal is not let him think he's getting in my head. My goal is to be cool, and like you can't get to me.
You drop 30 on his head right there.
Huh? He could drop 30 on me, and I'm gonna be like, try to get 32, bro.
You drop 30 on him after. Like,
yeah, cool. But I mean, I think in life, you should not let people show that they're gonna get to you. Like they got to you, they got under your skin, they were able to push your buttons. Yeah.
Because if they see that, they start picking at it more.
They start picking at it more. Mm-hmm. They know. So it's like you were saying, if it was a toxic situation, you can be like, you know, this is great. I got a lot of learning out of this experience. I think you're a great person, but it's not for me.
Have a nice day. Regulate your
Have a nice day.
Simple. But what happens in business when the person is corrupt and you have to sue this person? Because there's so many corrupt people, you know, and I'm going to sue you, but, you know, I try to end things nicely, but at the same time, you know, like in business, people like...
I was in a 7-year lawsuit. A guy was trying to sue me for a building. I didn't want to sell it to him anymore. He didn't meet his terms of the contract. It took me 7 years of court, over $100,000 I spent in legal fees. You know, when we went to trial for a month, the guy's lawyer, he was actually a really nice guy. He wasn't the smartest lawyer in the world, but he was a really nice guy. And at the end, like, we shook hands, and I was like, you know, you did a great job. You know, he said, yeah, I know you did a good job, too. And I didn't have any bitterness towards him. He was, even though he tried to get me on the stand, he tried to make me...
He's just doing his job.
The guy that had the lawsuit against me, do I like him as a person? No. Do I believe in his values? Yeah. No, but if he came in here today, I'd be like, hey, what's up? How are you? And keep it, I'm not going to be like...
Keep it civil, you know?
Yeah. You know, it doesn't, like that energy, you know, I see people a lot, I had explained, like people that carry around that energy of anger and hate and grudges,
so
their growth is limited. You know what I'm saying? Their growth is limited. So I try to let it go. At that moment, I'm going to be upset. Don't get me wrong. I'm human. Everybody is. But you gotta let it go and do. It's like a matter of just loving yourself, knowing that, you know, in order for me to grow, I got to let this go.
Yeah, things happen. What are you going to get out of holding on to this? Nothing. No, you're just going to waste mad energy. You're going to feel the same frustration still, which is not good for you because frustration really makes you sick.
Right.
Yeah. I think what Sean is really trying to display is just like be forgiving person. Don't have malice in your heart.
And what happens if you see that person again and you have to work with them again? Are you going to walk out the room? I've seen people, I can't work with that guy, and stop their growth. So what happens to the person that you're angry, you have to work with them again? Some project that you're going to say no, you're going to know how to align yourself and how to do things, but you're not going to let that stop you. They would have to tell me, that same guy that wanted to buy my building, went to corporate, and they were like, there's a project, and I'm like, and I see him coming on, and I'm like, all right, but I know my exposure to him. I know, like, how to navigate the boundaries, the exact word, the boundaries. Deal with a sense of integrity. I can't say it more and more and more. Take pride in what you do. If something is not done in the way that you know it wasn't be done, just acknowledge it. Like, I've been trying on this, but I can't get it the way you want it done. I'm trying. Help me. That's still pride and integrity. You know what I mean? If my son came to me, Dad, I followed all the instructions on how to clean the window, but they're not coming out the way you need to get it done. I respect that. I'd be like, okay, let me show you again. Let's do it again. But he's just like, well, I did it the way you told me. I did it the way you told me. I don't understand what the problem is. This is the way you told me to do it. This is how you told me to do it. 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 And I was like, think outside the box. Get the job done. Take pride in what you do. Focus. Follow one's course until successful. And that means, you know, sometimes you may have to adjust. You may have to navigate. But stay on course. What stops people from the success is what I call a four-letter word. Life.
Course is not always a straight line either.
It's never. Yeah. It's never. If you guys think your success is going like this, nah, you are sadly mistaken. It's hills and valleys, lefts, rights. And the last thing, be a trailblazer, and set a path to others to follow. You know, there's so much room in this world that we're living in today for recreating, growing. You know, we can name 100 companies that didn't exist 10 years ago that are now top companies out there that 10 years ago, they didn't even exist. We didn't even know what their name was. You know, if somebody told me when I was young, there's going to be a top company that makes phones that I walk around with, and I'd be like, what's it going to name? Techie.tree.thix? No, it's called Apple. You're like, now you think you relate Apple with a phone, but we related Apple with an actual Apple. I'm like, why would they name it Apple? What do you mean, Apple? That's a company, tech company making this? Yeah. So there's room for creativity. There's room for opportunity. And yeah, that's it. Financially clean.
Thank you, Sean, for everything you taught us. It was a great, great class, great 8 weeks, you know, very amazing. You and Mr. 850 really taught us a lot.
Yep. All right. No, go ahead. Anybody else want to say anything?
I said thank you as well. Yeah. The
cards hit. Did you wear that hat just for me? I love that. All right. Thank you, guys, man. You guys are great. Honestly, I don't want to say it for all the other students listening, but you guys were an amazing class. Like, your questions and your comments even today was... I don't know how Ben picked you guys. He has to handpick this all-star team. I don't know what he did, but you guys were all really, really great, and you pushed me to think and make sure I got out what I was trying to say, and you pushed me a little, which is good. So we had a great time. It was great.
Ben,
Sean.
Let Ben give out his awards.
You want to give
him? No.
Okay.
Those are two good.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.